do on breakfast. It's called Sci-Fry. And it's basically a chance to just marvel and learn from the experts from places like the School of Tropical Medicine, though not Steve Coppell, University of Liverpool, John Moores University, all famous for their knowledge, their know-how, and world-leading developments in science and medicine that go on to affect our everyday life, not just here, but all over the world. So let me today introduce Samantha Donnellan, a researcher at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Sam, morning to you. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about what you do. What's your day-to-day role?
So my job at the School of Tropical Medicine is investigating new drugs for treating tuberculosis. And we're looking at treating tuberculosis in its more natural environment inside our immune cells, where it is in the human body in a human infection.
Oh, and let me get this right. TB is inside our immune system. That's where it lives.
That's its natural environment, yes. In a human body, when you are infected with tuberculosis, primarily it's through in the air, so it's an airborne disease, so it's very contagious. It passes into our lungs, and inside the lungs, it's immediately emit by our first line of defence, which is our alveolar macrophages primarily. And the macrophages go around, and they basically gobble up bacteria, and usually they're able to destroy bacteria. But tuberculosis has managed to evade this destruction. It's a process known as phagocytosis, and the bacteria can actually live inside our macrophages. It can stay in a dormant environment, and it can actually stay latent, so you don't have active disease, or then it can go on quite readily to form disease if anything occurs to your immune system.
I've seen old pictures from Liverpool. I've got a fascination with old pictures from Liverpool. Yeah. And there was TB vans that used to go around, you know, in the 40s and 50s and the 60s, and they would x-ray people, because it was quite prevalent, wasn't it, TB? And, you know, a lot of people live with this, but I thought that we'd eradicated this, or we pretty much had kicked it into touch, but clearly it's not the case.
No, tuberculosis is still the single most biggest killer to human beings from infectious diseases. It kills 1.6 million people every single year, and 10 million people are newly infected every single year with the disease.
Wow.
So it's a huge problem. It was taken under control for a while, and then it's also become more prevalent again in the United Kingdom. It really took off in this country during the Industrial Revolution in the 18th, 19th century. So basically, we had people travelling into the cities from rural parts of the United Kingdom. They were being housed in very appalling conditions, malnutrition, poverty, and this is basically where tuberculosis breeds.
So this is where it's linked then, isn't it?
You know, poverty.
If you live well, if you eat well, if you exercise and you keep your body pretty much in shape, you know, tuberculosis, TB, it says, well, I'm not really going to pick on you, but poverty strikes, and, you know, health-wise, all of those things are linked. Is that where TB goes, right, I'm going to have you now?
Yeah, well, anybody can contract tuberculosis. It doesn't really matter whether you are poor or not poor.
Yeah.
But it breeds in poverty countries. And it's very, it's a huge problem in parts of sub-Saharan Africa. I've just come back from South Africa, where I was based in Cape Town for a couple of months under a Winston Churchill Memorial Trust Fellowship. And I had an amazing time over there researching this disease in that country. But one thing I really noticed, that it's in the townships around the city of Cape Town where tuberculosis is a huge, huge problem. And again, in these townships, people are living in terrible conditions, again, overcrowding, poverty, malnutrition. And so tuberculosis really, really takes off in this kind of environment, and this is where we see it. But we do have it here in the United Kingdom as well. We have around 5,000 cases each year in England. It's a notifiable disease, and it has been since 1912, which means any patient who contracts tuberculosis, their health professional must notify Public Health England,
right,
because it is so contagious and it's very readily passed between individuals.
How do we pass it on? Is it coughs and sneezes?
Coughs, sneezes, talking, conversation, singing.
Oh, right, that is contagious.
It's airborne. And
then
it passes
away
through, basically drops of spit.
Is it very clever? Is that why it's stuck around for so long?
You could say it's clever, yes. Basically, it's very hard to kill. It's got a very complex structure. So drugs, antibiotics, chemicals, heats, we find it very difficult to kill the bacteria, and our immune system also can struggle to kill it as well. So it's managed to evade our means of killing it in our own immunity. And many people can have latent tuberculosis and they'll never know they have latent tuberculosis. It doesn't go on to form active disease, which means they're carrying it, but they're not contagious. They cannot pass it to any other individual and they're not showing active signs. But these patients, if they maybe become ill with HIV or cancer or even diabetes, their immune system can no longer sort of house it, and it escapes and spreads throughout the body.
This is something you worked on previously, wasn't it? HIV. Did you work on that previously?
We were very recently looking at HIV and tuberculosis co-infections. So the School of Tropical Medicine and the Liverpool University were doing a bit of a small collaboration, and we are trying to co-infect cells with HIV and tuberculosis and have a look at how drugs may or may not work when we have both these pathogens inside a cell.
Because there was a story, I think, earlier on this week about a gentleman who became HIV free. They'd actually gotten rid of this virus from his body. I mean, I'm making it sound so simple. Stop me if I'm talking a load of rubbish. But I did see that story, didn't I?
Well, the problem with HIV is it's not like a bacterial infection. It actually integrates into our own DNA. So it is very difficult, and it's very complex. It becomes basically part of your genetic makeup. But when you have a co-infection, basically these two pathogens work together as a team. So more people who are HIV infected, more people die of tuberculosis than they do of AIDS. Mm. And you're 50 times more likely to contract tuberculosis if you're HIV positive as well.
Will we ever kill it off?
TB?
Yeah.
Well, we are trying to become TB-free by 2050. The World Health Organization is doing a huge, huge strive to try and eradicate this disease. There was a very... very globalised meeting last year in New York City when world leaders came together, and they're basically saying that now we have to work together as a world to try and eradicate tuberculosis. So hopefully this is going to bring more funding, more research and more drugs into play for treating tuberculosis.
How easy or how difficult is it? Because it's almost like a game of chess, this, isn't it, between you who are trying to kill this virus, this disease, and the disease kind of knows, and does it mutate and does it run away? Is it a cat and mouse game, this?
Yeah, so generally treating tuberculosis is quite straightforward. 82% of cases are treatable. But then we also have a problem with multi-drug resistance. So when you have patients on a treatment regimen, it's a 6-month treatment of multi-drugs every single day.
Right.
So you can imagine in the UK, that's feasible, it's doable. But when you're living in a third world country where you have to travel for your treatment or you're unemployed, this becomes very difficult. And what happens is these patients basically don't continue their treatment, and then they'll develop multi-drug resistant tuberculosis, which is incredibly difficult to treat.
So you said earlier on in our conversation, you went to Sub-Sahara?
I was based in Cape Town.
Based in Cape Town.
Yeah.
When you came back, what did you learn? What did you bring back just finally? Because we're almost out of time.
Well, firstly, it was the first time I'd ever met anyone in my life who'd had tuberculosis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So it kind of made my research a little bit more important to me personally, to actually see the devastation this causes to people over there. I was lucky enough to meet a lot of patients and interview them and discuss the effects it had on their life and their family life. And the majority of them became unemployed. When they told their employers they were infected with tuberculosis, they were fired from their position. Once they were fired, they could then no longer travel to the clinics to get their treatment. Once they couldn't travel to the clinics to get their treatment, they then developed multi-drug resistant tuberculosis. And there's only a 50% survival rate off MDR-TB.
So that's a triple whammy, quadruple whammy, really, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's very sad, but we have new research happening at the LSTM. Mm. We are quite excited about some of the drug screens we're now developing, and there's been two new drugs recently developed for tuberculosis, which is the first in 50 years. So it's good news.
When you get news like that, you know, oh, there's new drugs, and you know, we've made progress, we're moving forward, you know, to this target of 2050. I think you said where you could eradicate this. As a researcher, as a scientist, as a person who, you know, does what you do, what does that feel like when there's a new sweetie in the bag, if you like?
Yeah, it's very exciting. And also when you work in it and you understand how long it takes to get to that stage, it's not a case of a few months or even a few years. This can be a decade's worth of work. To get an end result where something actually is positive for patients is excellent news for all of us.
Samantha, a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much.
I could talk to you all day about this stuff. Really cool, but the news is coming on next. Give our best to everybody back at your place, and let's talk again maybe later in the year if there's been any progress. Even if there hasn't been any progress, let's talk again.
Thanks very much.
Good to meet you.
Thank you
very much indeed. There's Samantha Donnellan there, a researcher at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Winds up off Sci-Fry for...